Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing to teach on the Holy Spirit. And I tell you, this is about the end of my second week. Tomorrow's going to be my last day to teach on the Holy Spirit, not because we've exhausted it by any means, but we're just going to move on to some other things. But this is really, really important. And you know, there's been so many people blessed by this. There's been so many people that have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. And there's been so many people upset and offended by this. But I can't help that. It's the truth. It's what changed my life. And you know, I have people all of the time that just tell me that they love my teaching, that it's helped them to understand that God's not mad at them. They've been set free. And then they come up against me talking about the Holy Spirit. And they say, if you'd have just left that out, everything would have been fine. But I'm telling you, if it hadn't have been for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and this gift of speaking in tongues, I wouldn't have had the revelation that I have on grace and the goodness of God and all of the other things. I wouldn't have seen those miracles. And so it's amazing to me how people can sit there and enjoy the fruit and then say, I dislike the root. I don't believe in that. It just doesn't work that way. And so I want to encourage you, even if this is against your religious traditions, you need to let God's Word be true and every man a liar. You need to let God's Word dominate you in this area. And I promise you, you won't regret it. It'll cost you some things. It might cost you the church you go to. It might cost you some friends. But you know what? It'll also cost you your sickness and your depression and your poverty and your oppression, and you'll begin to start prospering as you never have, and it's well, well worth the effort. I want to share something with you today and tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be my last day to teach on the Holy Spirit. And I want to share something with you that if you can get this, this will just revolutionize your life. It certainly has mine. This is one of the truths about the Holy Spirit, and specifically speaking in tongues, that I have used so many times, and it has made a huge difference. Here's the Apostle Paul speaking in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And in verse 4, he says, "In my speech, in my preaching, was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God." Man, there is a mouthful there. Paul's ministry was different than others. There were others that were greater orators than he was. Matter of fact, Paul even said this, that his speech was contemptible and his bodily presence was weak. Paul was not an eloquent speaker. And you know what? I hesitate to make some of these comparisons lest somebody think I'm trying to promote myself. I'm not. I'm really trying to just express my dependency upon the Holy Spirit. But as you can tell, I am not the greatest speaker that ever was. I am not, I'm not polished. When I make a mistake, you know, if I have to swallow or something, we don't edit it out and cut it out. We just keep going. And we haven't made this television broadcast a polished thing that has all of the graphics flying in and out and all of the fancy things. It's very plain. There's not a lot to it. It's just what Paul was saying. It's not the preaching. It's not the speaking, but it's the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? We are seeing people's lives changed. Last month, we had over 40,000 people contact us, and people's lives are just being transformed. And that's just here in our U.S. office. Of course, we got all of our offices all over the world, and things are happening, but we are seeing things happen, and it's not me. If I would have been God, I wouldn't have chosen me. It's the Holy Spirit. You know, right before I get into the rest of this verse, let me just point this out in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. It says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are." And then in verse 29, it tells you the reason, "that no flesh should glory in His presence." Instead of God choosing the best, the brightest, the most educated, the ones that are the most at ease speaking, the one who are polished, and the one who have all of the charisma, See, that's the way the world operates. They base it on your looks and they base it on all of these other things. God has set His kingdom up just the opposite. He chose weak, base, foolish things, things that are nothing, to bring to naught things that are. You know, when I saw this, I said, praise God, I qualify. I qualify on every one of these counts. I've been average in everything I've ever done. And you know what? That's the kind of person God's looking for. Matter of fact, I had a person write in once and they said, why do you have to be a hick from Texas before God will use you? And they compared me to Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland and some other people. And they said, why do you have to be a hick from Texas before God will use you? And you know what? I wrote them back and I said, it's because hicks from Texas know that we can't do it on our own and it makes us God dependent. Amen. Why did God choose this? It's not that He's against people who have it all together and that are the wonderful people and the polished people and the good-looking people. He's not against them, but it's people like that tend to trust in their own self. But people who don't have it all together and are fearful, like me, about speaking to people, I couldn't have done this in a million years. This is not normal. People like me, see, when God gives us a call, we say, oh God, it's got to be You. And He says, that's it. That's the one I'm looking for, the one that will depend upon Me. And this is what Paul expressed in chapter 2. He says, it wasn't our enticing words. It wasn't our great preaching, our wisdom, but it was the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. And after he said all that, now he's coming back and he's saying, now this doesn't mean that what we're saying doesn't make sense. We speak wisdom, it's just not the wisdom of the world. In verse 6, he says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the prince of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Some people just stop right there and say, oh, that's the way it is. We just can't know the things of God. Further along, we'll know all about it. Further along, we'll understand why. But it doesn't stop there. In the next verse, it says, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. This is just saying that in the natural, with your own mental ability, you cannot know God and make Him known properly. But the Spirit can enable you to go beyond your mental understanding and your own natural abilities, and you can start flowing in the power of the Holy Spirit. So in the 10th verse it says, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us of God. And he goes on to talk about this is how we speak. So here's my point. Paul was saying that he wasn't operating just out of mental ability. It wasn't his great speaking ability. It wasn't his ability as an orator. He said himself that my bodily presence is weak and my speech is contemptible. But he had the Spirit of God speaking through him. He had a revelation that was Spirit-given. It wasn't just intellectual. And it was such a strong revelation that even Peter, who spent 3.5 years physically with Jesus and listening to His ministry, said in his letter, he says, our beloved brother Paul says some things that are hard to be understood, which those who are unlearned and unstable wrestle as they do the other Scriptures. Peter says, Paul's revelation is a little hard for me to grasp, but he says it's Scripture. He acknowledged that it was inspired of God. And so here's Paul talking about how he had this superior revelation, and it was the power of the revelation and the anointing of the Holy Spirit on him that made it work. And look at this again in verse 6. He says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Now let me turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and just read a couple of verses here. In verse 1, it says, "Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries." 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, "We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery." 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, the latter part says that in the Spirit you are speaking mysteries when you speak in tongues. Where did Paul get this revelation? You know what I really believe by putting these verses together? And remember that this is the book of 1 Corinthians. We put the chapter and verse divisions in there to be able to reference it, and there's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes people think that chapter 14 is just totally a different teaching than 1 Corinthians chapter 2. No, this is all one letter. It originally was one thought. It was written to the same group of people. Here he is using the same terminology in the same letter to the same people. There is a connection here. And Paul said that the things he was preaching, he got by revelation. He expounded on that in Galatians chapter 1. But he got this by revelation. He wasn't taught it by man. It came, and he was speaking mysteries in the Spirit. And then he says, 1 Corinthians 14, 2, the latter part, "Howbeit in the Spirit you speak mysteries when you pray in tongues." Let me make a statement here that is going to shock some people. Some of you will think this is stretching because it's so different than the way we are. But I believe it's exactly what the Scripture is saying. Here's how Paul got that revelation. Again, if you were to turn over to Galatians chapter 1, for time's sake, I won't do it. But if you turn over there and read it, he says that after he was called, he didn't go up to Jerusalem and learn these things by men, but instead he went into the desert. The Spirit drove him into the desert. And for 3 years, Paul was in the desert by himself. And I believe he had probably Scripture with him. If he didn't have written copies, he had already memorized the first 5 books of the Bible, and he certainly had a working knowledge of Scripture. And while he was in the desert, here's how Paul got his revelation. It was, of course, through the power of the Holy Spirit, but it says that when you pray in tongues, you are speaking mysteries in the Spirit. And then he says that the revelation that I came with wasn't with words, it wasn't this, but it was this. I was speaking the hidden wisdom of God in a mystery. You know what I believe Paul did? I believe that while he was in the deserts, of course he was studying the Scriptures, but he was praying in tongues. And as you pray in tongues, it says in 1 Corinthians 14, 14, that when you pray in tongues, your spirit prays. The Spirit is the part of you that, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, you have the mind of Christ. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. The Spirit is the part of us that has the perfect wisdom of God and these hidden wisdom and mysteries in it. And what Paul was doing, he studied the Word and he prayed and he spoke in tongues. And as he spoke in tongues, God helped him to interpret this. And this revelation didn't come by sitting in a classroom and having someone teach him, but the Holy Spirit taught him. And one of the ways that he got that revelation, I'm not saying this is the only way, but one of the things involved was he spoke in tongues and asked God to reveal to him these hidden wisdom that he was speaking, these mysteries that he was speaking in tongues. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, that in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. He asked him to reveal these mysteries to him, and he got an interpretation of his tongues. And that's how Paul came up with this revelation of the grace of God. Man, that's profound. Again, see, this puts speaking in tongues in a totally different category from what most people think. Many people think that speaking in tongues is something you do just to prove that you got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Even a lot of people who have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and who have spoken in tongues think that it's just something you do kind of to vent a little bit of emotion, or you do it to prove that you got the Holy Spirit. And I know people who have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and have this gift of speaking in tongues that haven't spoken in tongues in weeks, months, years. That's because they don't understand what it's really about. There's many benefits. This is by no means everything, but one of the benefits is that when you are speaking in tongues, you are speaking mysteries, 1 Corinthians 14:2, in the Spirit. Your spirit is the part of you that's praying, 1 Corinthians 14:4, and you are praying forth these hidden wisdom, the wisdom of God in a mystery, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. And all you've got to do is 1 Corinthians 14:13, let him that prays in an unknown tongue pray also that he may interpret. All you got to do is say, God, give me wisdom. Show me what these hidden wisdom are that I'm speaking. And when you look at it this way, see, this takes speaking in tongues out of just being an emotional thing you do or something that you do one time to prove that you got the Holy Spirit. But instead, it's something that you can draw on this supernatural mind of Christ, wisdom of God that's on the inside of you. When you speak in tongues, that spirit that has all of this supernatural wisdom is praying, and all you've got to do is pray that your understanding becomes fruitful. That's powerful. You know, I've referred to this many times, but it fits perfectly here, so I'm going to say this again. But this building that I'm in right now, where our television studio is, we moved from a building that had 14,600 square feet into this building that has 110,000 square feet. It was nearly 10 times as big. And we didn't have the money to finish it out. It was just an old warehouse. And the Lord led me to get this, and I had plans already drawn for the layout of this whole building. And for 9 months, we tried to get a construction loan that would allow us to do the $3.2 million renovation to fit out this building. And, I mean, the banker told us every month, every week, he says, next week you get your money. We're just in the last stages. And this went on for 9 months. And after 9 months, I was just frustrated. And I went and had a special meeting. We sat down, and he says, you know, it's been 9 months. The appraisal had lapsed. He says, we need a new appraisal. Why don't we just start the whole process over again? And when he said that, all I could see was another 9 months and us being back at this same place. And I said, you know, let me pray about this. And I went home and I started praying. And I've built this trail that I walk on my property. It's a mile and a half one direction. And then I come back. And anyway, I started praying. And I said, Lord, I know that this is not a problem to you, but I said, in my natural mind, in my natural ability, I've done everything I can do and it's not working. We were in trouble. Our ministry was bursting at the seams. We had our school growing and we couldn't accommodate them. We needed to get this building finished. And I said, Lord, I just need a word from you. And what I did was take these exact scriptures that I have shared with you. And I said, in my spirit, 1 Corinthians 2:16, I have the mind of Christ. In my spirit, 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, I have an unction from the Holy One, and I know all things. And when I pray in tongues, according to 1 Corinthians 14:4, my spirit, the part of me that has the mind of Christ and this perfect knowledge, and I know all things, this spirit is praying. And then based on 1 Corinthians 14:13, let him that prays in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. I said, God, I know you've got the answer. I know that in my spirit I've got that wisdom and knowledge. I'm going to pray in tongues. I'm going to interpret it, and I want you to reveal to me what I need to do in this situation. So I started praying in tongues, and I've got this rock that is like 150 yards down my trail. It's a rock with a flat face on it, and I painted it white, and on that rock it says, if you don't, I will. Talking about, if you don't praise him, I will. And so every time I walk down this trail and come by this rock, I say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And anyway, before I got to that rock, 150 yards, it was less than 10 minutes, I started praying in tongues and saying, Father, I know that my spirit has an answer. What is it? I want revelation. Speak to me. Within just minutes of doing that, I had a prophecy come back to me that had come like nearly 2 years before. And in this prophecy, it was talking about growth and expansion. And the Lord told me through this prophecy, he says, you don't need to go borrow money. You already have a bank. And when they said that, I thought, what bank is that? And he says, that bank is your partners. And I didn't put all of this together until I was walking down that trail, praying in tongues, saying, God, what's going on? Why can't we get the money? What's happening? And the Lord reminded me of that prophecy. The Holy Spirit brought it back to my remembrance. And anyway, I kept walking and praying, and the Lord just spoke to me that I don't want you to take out a loan. That's why it's not working. I don't want you to go in debt. I want your partners to supply this money. And did you know, at that time, I don't remember the exact details, but at that time, our income was somewhere less than $200,000 per month. And we had just doubled our television bill. We had doubled our outreach going on. And so we were under a gun. We had to have a huge increase in income just to keep level with our television outreach. And here I was thinking of tacking $3.2 million up on top of that. That was more than a year's income at that time. We probably had maybe $30,000 or $50,000 maximum saved. At the rate I had been saving money, did you know it could have taken me 100 years to come up with $3.2 million above my normal operating expense? And if I committed myself, if this was really God speaking to me, that He wanted me to just go to my partners and have them supply this and not go in debt, if this was God speaking to me and if I made that commitment, I wasn't going to commit to that and then if I had trouble, just default back and go get a loan or do something else. No, if this is what God told me to do, I'd do it until my death. I mean, it could have been the death of this ministry. I could have put myself in a tremendous bind believing for $3.2 million extra above our normal operating expense. And because of the potential damage and because this was such an important decision, I prayed about it for a couple of weeks before I made my final decision. I got some counsel, but finally I said, that's it. I said, if they come to me tomorrow and want to loan me all of this $3.2 million, I'll turn it down. Sure enough, the next day, one of the banks that we'd been dealing with came back and says, we're going to give you $4 million. You're approved. And I said, no, I'm not taking it. And you know what? I stood on that, and it came to pass. In 14 months, we had that building finished, and here we are debt-free because I got a word from God. And you know how all of this happened? Through praying in tongues and asking God for an interpretation. And I believe that that's how Paul came up with these mysteries, his revelation of grace that even made the Apostle Peter say that, man, some of the things he says are hard to understand. Where did he get this? By his own admission in Galatians 1. I wasn't taught this. I received it directly from God through the Holy Spirit in the desert, and by putting 2, 6, and 7 with 1 Corinthians 14:2, you see that he was praying in tongues. He was praying these hidden wisdom, the mysteries of God, and he interpreted, and this was at least a part, if not the total way, that Paul received revelation of the Old Testament Scriptures and the revelation of grace that Jesus brought in. I tell you, that's powerful. And this is also one of the ways that we receive instruction from the Lord. I use this all of the time, all of the time. And those of you that haven't received the baptism, don't speak in tongues, I tell you what, it's like fighting with both arms tied behind your back if you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. This is powerful. You need it. You know, I'm out of time today, but I am going to continue and conclude this series on our program tomorrow, so I encourage you to listen in then. But also, you need to get these materials. Our announcer will give you all of the details. And as you call in and receive the product, also remember that the people there would love to pray with you and help you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Today, Andrew is offering his book titled, The New You and the Holy Spirit for a Gift of Any Amount. In this book, Andrew explains the specifics of your new life in Christ and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Request book T323 when you contact us. The New You and the Holy Spirit is also part of a three-book set titled Foundations. Included in this set are two additional books, Spirit, Soul, and Body, and The True Nature of God. Together, these books will help make an intimate and personal relationship with God a reality for you. You can receive Foundations for a gift of any amount. Request item T4500. Andrew's two-part teaching titled The Holy Spirit is also available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. The DVDs are made from Andrew's daily television program. Request CD album T1040C or DVD album T1040D when you contact the ministry. The second teaching in the CD album titled Speaking in Tongues is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second CD free of charge. Request teaching T-H-O-7-C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Again, that number is 719-635-1111. Or you can reach us through our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries of Canada. Your gifts help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today.
You know, I know that many of you are being touched by these programs and God is speaking things to you. You're realizing how that we have not been taught the whole counsel of God and that there's just so much more available and you're feeling hungry, like, where do I go to get more of this? Of course, our materials, our website is a great place, but our Charis Bible Colleges are really designed to help bring you from the place that you are to the place that God wants you to be. Whether it's full-time ministry or not, every one of you could prosper and profit by becoming a part of our Charis Bible College. We not only have our campus here in Colorado Springs, but we have campuses around the world, and we have correspondence course. So please call the number that you see on your screen and inquire about our Charis Bible College. We're getting close to our Summer Family Bible Conference. It's going to be on June the 29th through July the 3rd, and it's going to be a great time for the whole family. We have children's ministry. We have it set up so that there are our CBC classes in the morning, but the afternoons are off, and then evening meetings. It's just a great time, and I believe that it could be a vacation for you and your whole family. The children will be blessed. So make plans to join me June the 29th through July the 3rd. For our Summer Family Bible Conference.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. He'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, June 29th through July 3rd. In South Africa for a Gospel Truth Seminar, July 21st through the 23rd. And in Durant, Oklahoma, July 30th and 31st. He'll also be in Boston, Massachusetts for a Gospel Truth Seminar August 6th through the 8th and in Little Rock, Arkansas August 28th through the 30th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.